In defiance of the adrenaline coursing through his veins, Vince forced himself to stay calm. The randomized drop-off system had put him in an unfamiliar alleyway. All he had was a communicator in his ear to coordinate with the others, a sturdy-looking digital watch, and a rough idea of what the target could do. While they'd been given time to grab some of their weapons and equipment before entering the battlefield, Vince made do with the standard materials, since he didn't use any special tools or tech. He had only those meager resources and an entire city to search within 10 minutes. Vince turned around to find that someone else had jogged up to his location.
Chad?
I am indeed. Glad to see you, Vince.
Chad stepped out of the shadows, appearing as calm as always.
I'm surprised you're still here. Action tends to be your first recourse.
Yeah, but I can't start punching someone until I know how to find them, so I was trying to come up with ideas.
Smart. Forgive me for overstepping if this is the case, but can't you sense energy? Dean Blaine indicated that the chain reaction would be building for 10 minutes, so I have to imagine it will put out enough power to track.
That's a good idea, but I have to know what I'm sensing to find it. Never had occasion to take in nuclear power, and given that I was a powered most of my life, that's probably a good thing.
I see. Just as well. I can only assume they're using some sort of faux nuclear power anyway. Hardly seems worth the risk to use the real stuff just for authenticity. That means our best tracking options are myself and Amber.
Chad reached up to his ear and turned on his communicator, which reminded Vince he needed to do the same.
To the east. The only downside is that running all those drones is going to leave me highly vulnerable.
Hey guys, Vince and Chad just hopping on. Did we miss something?
I'll say you did. Will brought a new toy along for this trip, one that might end up saving our collective ass.
I created a fleet of small airborne surveillance drones. They have camera functions to map the battlefield, including building interiors. And if someone is pooling enough energy for a nuclear chain reaction, I should be able to see it. I need a line of defense around me to coordinate them, and then I can guide the rest of you. I'm near a supermarket on Baker Street on the east side of the city.
Vince glanced to Chad.
We could get across the city fast, and I'm sure we could hold the line if needed.
I don't know, Vince. Our skills are better suited to offense than defense. Give it a few seconds. I think the right people will take up the right jobs.
Will, this is Shane. I'm near the east side and can be there soon. We need someone to defend against ranged strikes, anything from an enemy too far out for me to hit.
Thomas here. If there's ever going to be a cue for me, I'd say that's it. I'll join Shane and Will.
Perfect. The rest of you start moving. Based on previous fights, we'll be on the outskirts of the city and the action will be toward the center. You need to be somewhere you can move once I start piling up information. Alice, you're the most mobile member of the group. Who do you have with you?
Violet, Amber, and I all got dumped off at the same place, so we've got the makings of one hell of an offense.
Excellent. And Vince, where are you?
I'm with Chad down a small alley. There's a museum across the street, if that helps.
I'll find you once the cameras are up. Vince, you are the most immediately destructive member of our class. I may have to call upon you to unleash a significant amount of energy against our target, ignoring everything else around him. Can I count on you for that?
Vince's stomach sank at the implications of Will's plan.
Like Dean Blaine said, speed is more important than lives lost. Count on me, Will. I'll make it happen if needed. Let's try not to get to that point.
Chad's hand fell lightly on his shoulder, and Vince glanced over to see a rare smirk on his face.
See, I told you the right people would step up for the right jobs.
Shane DeSoto's power gave him the ability to kill easily and quickly. That's why his grandfather had drilled him since childhood in the value of holding back. Those lessons served him well as he hurried surreptitiously through the streets to join Will and the others. Plenty of targets presented themselves along the way. Gangs of marauding Sims who were setting fires and otherwise causing destruction. Shane could have easily used his shadow weapons to kill them as he encountered them, reducing the overall enemies for others to deal with. But in doing so, he would have wasted precious time and left a trail of corpses to Will's location. It only took him 2 minutes to reach the others, but those 2 minutes represented 20% of their total time to stop Armageddon. Thomas had beat Shane to Will's location, a back alley surrounded by buildings. He was in the process of throwing a protective energy dome over them. Will was hunched over what looked like an old 80s-era desktop, except with all manner of wires and new electronics sticking out. Overhead, Shane could just make out a small device lifting higher into the air, presumably one of Will's drones.
I don't care what Grandfather thinks. Thank goodness for subtlety heroes.
How are we looking?
Want to come in?
No, finish what you're doing, Thomas. I'll be more effective out here.
I've found a few buildings pumping out abnormal amounts of power. However, those could be supers with abilities that condense energy. I think our situation is one where people have gone into full-blown riot mode. Getting around the main areas of the city will require stealth or a high body count.
Thomas's orange dome lowered, and Will vanished from view.
Alice, I can see you, Amber, and Violet on that rooftop. We've got a potential target to the northwest, a red office building on 24th. Head that way and I'll give you some directions as you get close. Vince and Chad, there's a high energy source in that museum you mentioned. Check it out for me. Roy, Alex, and Camille, it looks like you're all to the south. Head down your street to the right and stop at the trailer park. I've got someone in there building up loads of power. Let's see, the next group. Well, shit. That didn't take as long as I'd hoped. Looks like one of the Sims can either track signals or spotted my drones flying up.
How many, Will?
From what I can see, at least five on this first push. They're moving as a unit and should be coming around the alley's corner in 20 seconds. Do you need Thomas for backup?
Thomas is fine where he is. You just worry about coordinating with everyone else.
Shane could feel the sclera of his eyes turning black, and the rest of his senses expanding and warping as he reached into the shadows and filled them with life and danger. The Sims darted around the corner, each with fists raised or attacks charged. The entrance of the alley looked like someone had dropped five robots through a blender, which wasn't all too far off from what had happened. Inky dark blades slithered back into the shadows, waiting for their next chance to strike.
First wave is suppressed. Let me know when the next group of poor bastards is heading this way.
It felt strange to be running away from fights, but Roy had to admit that this was the faster tactic. While he could have bulldozed his way through the gangs of Sims on the streets, it would have taken longer than going around them. Not to mention, it would have put Alex and Camille at risk. Swinging wide by a block or two when Alex sensed Sims coming saved them a lot of time, even if it did mean they never put themselves in position to help any civilians. They made it to the trailer park in no time.
Hey, look at that.
Roy pointed to a flickering light in the window of one of the trailers.
What you got, Alex?
Getting a reading, but that could be a diversion. You better check with Will.
Roy touched his ear.
Hey, Will, we're at the trailer park. There's a green one with a white awning sticking out from it and glowing light in the windows. Is that our target?
One moment.
The sound immediately drew their attention. A drone whipped by, moving too quickly to be targeted by any Sims that might be lurking behind cover.
That's the one. Be careful on approach. Even if this isn't our main enemy, it's a Sim that obviously meant to draw us in. It's probably going to be a tough fight either way.
Yeah, I kind of figured that might be the case.
Roy hefted his bat into prime swinging position and glanced at his teammates.
Any thoughts?
If you can get the Sim out in the open, there's a high chance I can disable it with a touch. It doesn't work on every Sim, but the ones who can resist me are pretty rare.
That puts you at risk, though. It might be better to let Roy take the brunt of the attack and slowly wear our enemy down.
Except that time is the most important asset we have, and that wastes it.
Fortunately, Roy was getting tactical input from Herschel.
You're both right. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna fight this Sim into the open. Alex, you have good control, so I want you to lift Camille in the air. When there's an opening, drop her on the Sim's back so she can try a touch. If it works, great. If it fails, then just try to help me tear it apart as fast as possible. Any objections? Okay then.
Roy, wait. Remember that cartoon we loved as kids? The human bomb one?
You serious?
Totally.
Roy inexplicably grinned.
Before that, though, I think the less warning we give this Sim, the better. Alex, you've been working on raw power. Think you can lift and throw something pretty heavy?
Like your bat?
Like my bat, but with a little more weight added.
Violet peered over the side of the rooftop.
Wow, that is a shitload of menacing robots.
The robots were surrounding the red office building to which Will had sent her, Alice, and Amber. which certainly lent weight to the idea that this was where the big bad was holed up.
We're here, Will. I dropped us onto a nearby roof so we could scope things out. If this sim is throwing off energy inside the building, can you give us a floor? Right now, going in from the roof looks like our best bet. But if our target is on the ground level, I'm going to assume there's another army in the upper floors between them and us.
My last drone sweep had the energy output concentrated on the second of five floors. I'm picking up a lot of thermal signatures matching that of sims on the higher levels.
Amber licked her lips.
So we either fight the army in the street or the one waiting for us in the halls. I say we go through the front. We've got the element of surprise. We can see where most of our enemies are laid out. And with the sims all bunched up like that, I can probably wipe the bulk of them out with a single concentrated blast.
I like the idea, but let me make one change to the plan. Instead of blasting them, what if I reversed the gravity in and around the entire building? Our outside foes would go all the way up to whatever the top of this simulation is, and everyone inside would be pinned to the ceiling. Amber, you could blast us a hole into the second floor, so we don't have to risk anyone on the first taking a ranged shot at us.
It would be quicker, but that's a damn big area, Alice. Are you sure you're going to be able to change and hold the gravity for all of it, all while presumably keeping us unaffected?
Pretty sure. I'll start with the outside group. Clearing them will at least let us blast into the second floor easily. And if I start to lose control, I can drop that area first. I think the fall would take most of those sims out of the equation.
But that's you doing all the work.
Oh no, not by a long shot. Holding up that much gravity over that big of an area is going to take all I've got. Once we're inside, I'll be almost useless for anything else. You and Violet will have to be the ones to take out the sim we came for, plus any who were in the way.
I think this is as good a plan as we'll get in the time we have. We're ready when you are.
Alice moved slightly closer to the edge of the roof, her face tightening in concentration.
Since the apocalypse clock is ticking, I'd say there's no time like the present.
Sneaking into the museum was easy. Vince just had to follow Chad's lead. With his enhanced hearing and sight, Chad was able to locate potential enemies long before they ever saw him. Avoiding every sim in their path, they made their way inside the building that was surprisingly empty, given the situation. There was still a bit of debris here and there, signs of earlier looting, but overall, the place was pristine compared to the city around it.
Will, can you give us any idea of where the power source is located? This museum is huge, and the distorting acoustics are making it hard to get a lock on where sound is coming from. I've got four potential targets right now, so any direction you can give is helpful.
Vince met Chad's eyes. A worrisome silence stretched.
Sorry, managing a lot right now. I'm doing another sweep, but that place is pretty well shielded. I can see the power leaking out of the sides, but nothing more. You'll have to search for the location.
Thanks anyway. We'll keep you posted.
Chad nodded toward a large directory and floor plan of the museum.
This place is huge. Even with Chad having it down to four targets, this is going to take too long.
After several long seconds of staring at the directory, Chad pointed to a section in the northeast of the museum.
That's the one.
You sure? Did you hear something?
No, the sounds are still muddled, but that is where one of them is coming from. Besides, I know something about Dean Blaine. He's got a bit of a flair for the theatrical.
Vince looked down at the section where Chad was pointing.
Huh. An exhibit about the origins of supers and the creation of the Hero Certification Program. I guess it would be a pretty appropriate place to fight for the fate of the world.
You want me to throw you and your bat into the trailer?
Yeah.
Can you take it?
I can take concrete.
Okay then. Watch yourself, Camille.
As Camille backed off a couple steps, Alex closed his eyes and raised his hands. Roy felt his feet leave the ground, and he floated a few yards away from the trailer. He said nothing, assuming Alex needed some distance to build up momentum. Alex tilted Roy's body forward, and he raised his bat straight out in front of him.
Ready?
Born ready.
Roy was moving too quickly to take in fine details. An outer wall, a brief glimpse of the interior of a trailer, and a very surprised-looking sim woman. Outside again, Roy hit the ground and rolled back to his feet. The sim woman was struggling to stand, and she had some sort of green energy glowing around her arms. Roy pinned her to the ground with his bat before she could even raise her arms. He was turning his head to call for Camille when he caught a flash of movement from the corner of his eye. The blow to his head drove him several feet through the air. And he lost his bat. Scrambling to his feet, Roy realized their mistake. Will's scan of the trailer had made them think they only had one opponent. But more Sims were climbing out of a hole in the ground under the trailer's shredded remains.
Who puts a basement under a fucking trailer?
The big male Sim who had punched Roy was helping the female Sim up from under the bat. Three more Sims were advancing on Alex and Camille. Roy forced himself to stay calm, made eye contact with Alex, and concentrated his thoughts.
We got a strong man and one with energy-based abilities. You and Camille can handle that. I don't know about the other three, but I can handle them.
To his relief, Alex gave him a quick nod. Roy hunkered down and launched himself across the trailer park. Judging by the crunch from the Sim's spine, Roy assumed it wouldn't be getting up again. One of the other Sim's eyes started glowing.
Damn, man, that hurt like shit!
Yeah, tell me about it.
As he leapt to his feet, Roy was relieved to see that the front of his uniform was burned away, but except for red skin, his body was intact. Unfortunately, when he glanced up from his chest, he found a short female Sim at his side. She opened her mouth. Roy clapped his hands over his ears, but the sound still made his stomach turn, eyes blur, and sense of balance vanish. Only years of training and a mile-wide stubborn streak kept him on his feet. Another blast of eye lasers hit him in the stomach. Despite the Sims' simultaneous attacks, Roy did something that only a few of the watching heroes took notice of. He grinned, like the cat who'd caught the canary. Because while these two buckets of scrap were busy with him, he knew that Alex and Camille had been given ample time to take care of the other two. Roy glanced over to see the female Sim staring wide-eyed with her mouth open.
That's right. Alex can block sound.
He held her confused gaze as Camille slipped behind her and laid a hand on her neck. The last Sim was charging up for another eye blast. Roy grabbed him by the back of the neck and shoved his face into the ground. Camille stepped nimbly over, touched the Sim's scalp, and that was that. Roy looked over the remains of their battleground. Both the strongman Sim and the green energy Sim were down, although the strongman Sim was still conscious, trying to move along the ground using only its neck. Apparently, Alex had cut some important bits that functioned like a spine. As for the energy Sim, Roy didn't know if she was dead or alive, only that she was still, and nothing was glowing green. Alex touched his ear.
Will, our target is down. Was that the one? Did we win?
I can only presume they would have told us if that was the case. It must be one of the other targets. You should start moving north to lend aid, but I have to warn you. Your fight drew the attention of nearby Sims, all of whom are converging on your location.
Roy walked over to where he'd landed after Alex's first throw and picked up his bat, giving it a brief test swing, as was his habit.
Bring them on. We'll plow our way through and get to the others with time to spare. Ain't nobody stopping this team.
Will hunched over his portable drone console, working furiously. Thomas focused on keeping the energy dome intact.
There must be some sort of distress system in place. Fighting or dying Sims calling out to other nearby units. That's the only explanation for how they keep traveling toward our people after a battle.
Thomas was able to see through his own energy field, so he knew how many Sims Shane had already taken out. He'd torn through three large attacking groups relentlessly. Shadows whipping about and striking from every angle. Some Sims took a few more blows than others, but Shane was able to deliver dozens of strikes, often to the same exact spot in the span of seconds. Now Thomas understood what Chad had meant about Shane's strength. He might not win intramurals, where killing was frowned upon, but there wasn't a doubt in Thomas's mind that Shane would be a legend among heroes once he was out in the field. A terrifying legend. One used to scare criminals into compliance. Or a legend of destruction when people saw what remained in his wake.
Maybe we are the class of nightmares.
Shit! I might be able to rework the sonic taser to neutralize the Sim's distress frequency, but I'd have to land the drones and stop coordinating to do it.
Keep up the tracking, we need that more.
You're sure? It would only be a couple of minutes, and then our people wouldn't risk getting swarmed.
We don't have a couple of minutes.
Thomas looked over to the edge of his dome to see a fourth group of Sims, the biggest one yet, just beginning their charge at the entrance of the alley. Shane was poised and waiting.
Our class needs you for guidance above all else right now. As for the ass-kicking, we've got that handled.
Vince hadn't been entirely sure what to expect, but the one unremarkable male Sim hiding in the Origin of Supers exhibit surprised him nonetheless. The only visible threat from the Sim was a ball of light between his hands. Since they were dealing with an Armageddon Sim, he probably should have attacked first. But some instincts were hard to curb.
Stop!
To Vince's shock, the Sim did exactly as he was told. The ball of light dispersed, and the Sim raised his hands in surrender.
Huh. I did not expect that to work.
Chad appeared from the shadows behind the Sim. The original plan had been for Vince to draw fire while Chad snuck in and delivered the killing blow, but that now seemed unnecessary.
What do we do now?
Chad considered the question briefly, before a blade of bone extended from his arm.
Did you just kill him?
No, but we can't risk him attacking us or starting things up when we leave. Paralysis is our best option.
Vince touched his earpiece.
Will, we found the target in the museum and disabled him. Did we get him? Is this our guy?
I don't think so. That means Alice's team has probably got the real one cornered. I haven't spotted any other targets yet. All forces, converge on that team's location. We're running low on time.
We're pretty far away. The odds of us making it in time are slim. But we might if we rush. At the least, we can take out any Sims we see approaching to back up the ones under attack.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Vince's eyes lingered on the still slumped-over Sim. Moving as quickly as he dared, Vince walked over and hefted the Sim into a position with his back against the wall.
Sorry we had to hurt you, even after you surrendered. At least you're still alive.
Vince and Chad took off in a dead sprint, racing for the museum doors. It was a pity they didn't linger a bit longer. They might have noticed the other figures entering the museum from the other side. Sims, who quickly rushed to their downed comrades' location. That was the trouble with teamwork. It cut in both directions. Alice raised her hands, face pinched in concentration, and sent every Sim on the ground shooting up into the air.
Damn, Alice is scary.
Big blasts of energy Violet could deal with, but to watch a battlefield be wiped out like that? No screams or chances to fight back? It was unnerving.
When she hits the real world, I bet crooks are gonna start wearing parachutes.
So far, so good.
The area Alice was affecting with her power was huge. Her hands shook a little as she slowly walked forward.
Amber, your turn.
The hole Amber made in the exterior wall of the second floor was more than big enough to walk through. Unfortunately, it was across the street from their location.
Can you get us over there?
Have to. You need me. Otherwise, you just go up like the Sims. Come on.
Alice gritted her teeth and started forward, her feet wobbling a bit as they left contact with the roof. Violet took Amber's hand.
It's okay. If anything goes wrong, I've got you.
You'd better.
All three women walked through the air on the unseen gravity field Alice was weaving, until they finally touched down on the dull gray carpet of the building's interior. There were no Sims around the entrance, which wasn't a great shock since they would be pinned to the ceiling, but Violet positioned Alice behind her all the same. From here on, it was up to her and Amber to finish the job.
Oh dear.
Chad held up a hand, and he and Vince stopped running. Chad tapped his earpiece.
Will, can you sweep the area south of 19th for me? I'm hearing a big group of Sims moving in what I suspect is the same direction as us. If they're not on the same path, we could swing wide, but if they're back up for the target, it might be more prudent to handle them now.
One moment.
One of Will's drones swept in overhead.
Damn it! They're going the same way, and they spotted my drone! Alice has a reversed gravity field around her building. But since we now know they have at least one blaster, I'm not sure how that would impact their ability to strike from range. Can you two intercept that gang before they arrive?
Can and will. I mean, we'll do it if that's what helps the most.
Good. Stay ready for new instructions, because we're down to the wire. If anything goes wrong, it will be all hands on deck.
Vince waited, but no more guidance followed. Chad nodded to the southeast and then met Vince's eyes.
You should be aware, I hear a lot of them. This won't be an easy fight with just two of us.
With the fate of the world at stake, I wouldn't expect anything less.
Let's go.
Inside the office building, the heavier Sims had smashed through the tile ceiling and remained pinned under the sturdy floor of the next level. Others were still in sight, twisting and turning to try and see what was going on below them. A few had managed, through luck or effort, to face downward toward the ground. Those, Amber picked off as they made their way through the halls. They could have ranged abilities, so Violet didn't protest Amber's methods. When they finally came to a large office with thick wooden doors and sounds of movement from the other side, it filled all of them with hope that they'd reached the final step of their trial. It was clear that Alice couldn't maintain the gravity field much longer, so they knew they had to bust in. Carefully, Violet positioned Alice directly behind her. She dialed up her own body's density by several degrees. Given the way Amber liked to knock, there was a good chance this was going to come with collateral damage. Amber stood, hand outstretched, waiting for her cue.
Ready?
Violet scanned the area one last time for any danger they might have missed, and then nodded. Violet bolted through the still falling pieces of debris that had once been the door and scanned the area. Four Sims were inside, waiting for them. One was a short man, with energy crackling from his eyes and hands, which were clutched together as though in prayer. He seemed like the best bet for their nuclear threat. Unfortunately, the other three Sims were standing in her way, all of them still on the floor. Violet noticed that they drilled in climbing hooks and rope, lashing themselves down. Violet leapt toward a female Sim in full business attire who seemed to be rippling with muscle. The woman took Violet's blow without so much as a blink.
What the?
Had the floors not been reinforced, Violet would have gone through to the level below. She got up just in time to duck an electrical blast from one of the other guard Sims. Glancing at her watch, Violet saw that they'd just passed the 9-minute mark since this test began.
No time left to play nice.
Amber, blow the head off anything that's not me. I'll clean up the rest.
Without waiting for confirmation, Violet leapt forward and wrapped her arms around the Sim who'd thrown her. She lowered the Sim's density by more than half. Then she tore it apart, taking the head as soon as she had a clear chance, trying hard not to think about the spray of viscera that would be coming in place of electronics if this were real. When the task was done, Violet looked around to find the other two standing Sims in smoking heaps. Clearly, Amber had taken her instructions to heart. But there was still one Sim left. Violet jumped high, angling her knees forward and cranking up her density as high as possible. Violet knelt for a moment on the crumpled remains of the Sim, astonished to see that it had been programmed to react with a death expression on its realistic human face.
Oh, come on. Was that really necessary?
Will, our target has been taken out the hard way. What's the status? Did we pass?
You got the last one? That's good, but I thought there would be an announcement when we won or lost. They've said nothing. And our time...
Violet looked at her watch. They had officially passed the 10-minute mark, and the counter was going up, not down.
I don't get it. We had a firm time limit, and we hunted every suspect I could find. Why isn't Dean Blaine... Oh, for fuck's sake. Interruption. The Sim needs 10 uninterrupted minutes to set off Armageddon.
What the fuck does that mean?
Violet glanced outside the room. Amber was holding up Alice, who looked like she might upchuck at any moment.
It means that you killed your target and Roy's team killed their target. But Chad and Vince told me they neutralized their target. I bet that means incapacitation, knowing those two. Vince or Chad, can you confirm?
Chad crippled him.
One moment. Drone has confirmed that we've got a new target back on the east side. Most likely our museum Sim once more. These Sims have been working together the whole time. I bet they have some units that are the equivalent of healers. Alice's team, I know you just had a fight, but you're our fastest option. Can you get across the city in time?
Me, maybe.
but there's no chance Alice is flying anyone. She looks like she might puke into the potted plants. We thought this was our last push, so she put everything she had into it.
Vince and I are still pretty far east. Unless anyone is closer, we may be the best option.
Then break off sim engagement right now and run that way. I'll try to crunch the numbers and give us a new time estimate, but I'll be guessing at best. So you have to hurry. Violet, take to the sky and try to meet up with them. There's still a chance to pull this off yet.
After several minutes of fighting, Vince and Chad had only disabled 10 out of 20 adversaries.
Do we run?
No. They just chase us and add to the problem. Do you have enough electricity to stun all of them?
Vince backed up to get as many targets inside as possible. Seven of the remaining 10 fell to the ground. Chad darted behind one of the three still standing. He tore through the remaining Sims like a whirlwind of bone and death. Finally, the last Sim's severed head crashed to the ground.
Let's go.
As they ran, Chad touched his ear.
Will, do you have a destination for us?
Not yet. Our target is being moved. Just head east for now, and I'll give you more precise directions when you get closer.
How are you holding up over there?
We're fine. Things are a little bumpy, but I'll be here to guide you until the end.
Will had lied, of course. His drones had detected 40 to 50 Sims moving toward him and Thomas, with others potentially joining the mob as it moved.
Shane, just hang on! Selena's group will be there in about 2 minutes, with Roy's people not far behind.
Tell them to take their time. I've got this.
Despite his bravado, Thomas could see the worry in Shane's eyes. No one had taken on more Sims than he had, but he was still planted in the alleyway, refusing to give an inch. Will directed his remaining drones across the battlefield, trying to gather a little more information to help the others. Without throwing a single punch, he had proven himself the MVP of this trial, win or lose.
Finally!
Will clapped his hands and rubbed them together, reading the data on his screen with a triumphant grin before tapping his earpiece.
Chad and Vince, the sim has stopped running and holed up in a location. Let me zoom in with my drone and I'll get you details. It looks like the building is on 20th Street, across from a courthouse. You'll know it because it's a... Oh, come on! Haven't they taken this far enough?
Thomas couldn't make out Vince or Chad's reply, but Will closed his eyes.
Because the building you two are heading toward is an orphanage, complete with what look like sim children who are trapped inside with the bad guys. Because apparently whoever sets these tests up is just fucking sadistic!
Gee, well, after 3.5 years, you're just now figuring that out?
Through the dome, Thomas could see the first of the giant group of Sims step into view.
An occupied orphanage? Even for Dean Blaine, that feels a touch over the top.
It was a testament to Chad's cardiovascular system that he could speak so clearly while still running at a full sprint. Vince could keep pace, thanks to years of training. But making conversation during the run was a little more than he could manage. Finally, their destination appeared ahead, and they slowed to a stop.
It's not sadism, it's punishment. Because we did a sloppy job with the capture, the world is still at risk. Those orphans would still be in danger, whether the Sim was holed up in there or not.
Perhaps. Or perhaps it is punishment for leaving him alive. Killing is the only way to permanently neutralize a target. If we'd done that, he could never have threatened anyone again.
But he gave up.
Yes, he did, which is why I didn't chop his head off. But he used our own compassion against us, and now the world remains in danger. So are we on the same page for this fight? No more second chances?
It was begrudging, but Vince nodded his acceptance.
He's not alone this time. I can make out three adult Sims standing near the door. Our best bet is probably to stick with the same strategy. You go at the front hard while I slip in unnoticed and try to execute the target.
We just used the same tactic. Won't they expect you when they see me?
Whether they expect me or not is irrelevant. Trust me, if you can hold out on the front, I can make it inside.
Chad, are you sure? Sure enough to bet the world on it?
Nothing is guaranteed, but I truly believe this is our best path to victory. You may have the harder job this time. You might charge the front only to find yourself staring down an army.
How long do you need me to keep their focus so you can get inside?
2 minutes, minimum.
Okay then. No matter what you see or hear, Don't worry about me.
Vince, of all the things I could concern myself with at this moment, you are not one of them. Are there any other questions?
Nope. I'm ready when you are.
Vince gave his arms and neck a quick stretch.
I never thought I'd hear myself say this, but let's go storm the orphanage!
That's a fuckload of Sims.
Roy peered from the alley toward the swarms of Sims converging on Will's location.
Do we go in swinging?
No, the ones on the ground aren't the real issue. Our big problems are the Sims shooting down at Thomas's barrier.
Alex pointed up to the nearby roofs.
If we can take those out, Shane can probably keep holding the alley.
Camille surveyed the thick crush of mechanical bodies.
Wait, Shane's been holding the alley by himself? I assume Thomas was pitching in too.
Every now and then when one gets close, but Shane hasn't let many come near enough. But we need to get rid of the ranged attackers. I can levitate us to the roofs, but they'll probably start fighting back as soon as they spot us, or double down on trying to break Thomas's dome.
So you need a distraction?
We need someone to make too much trouble for the range Sims to ignore, so that they have to start going after that instead of us or the dome.
You had me at make too much trouble.
Roy gave his bat its usual test swing as a big grin slipped across his face.
Herschel may be the smart one, but I got a PhD in kicking up shit shows. Just give me the word and I'll get this party started.
I guess whenever you're...
He flew forward, without any real trajectory, over the heads of the Sims who were turning to stare at the lone figure barreling through the sky. Roy crushed a couple of units with his landing and obliterated a few more with his bat. While the Sims were thrown into chaos, Alex and Camille snuck away from Roy's launch point, making their way toward the rooftops. Vince stepped out of an alley across the street from the orphanage. He didn't have to wait long. Vince dashed forward, fire dancing along his hands. He kept going, dodging blasts until he saw a Sim peering out from around a corner, visibly taking aim. His hand whipped upward in a blur. A column of flame melted the head off the attacker. The rest of it fell backward, but out of sight. The shots came from the second-story windows and bounced off the concrete, throwing some sort of liquid from their tips as they spun.
What is that? Poison? Better put a stop to it.
Vince swept a torrent of consistent flame across the windows, forcing the attacking Sims to either pull back or get burned. A few caught fire, their clothes going up even as they jerked away, but most seemed unhurt.
I can't just keep spraying fire. I might hit the kids. I could fire off a flash bomb, but I'd have to get them looking at me. Can I pull off a bluff? Only one way to find out.
Hey! You cowardly assholes! You think hiding in a building with a bunch of children is going to keep you safe? Well, newsflash! I know that if I don't stop you, those kids will die, along with every other person on the planet. So, if I have to choose between one smoldering orphanage and several billion people being annihilated, I'll take the first.
The fire around Vince's arms was intensifying, growing brighter by the second.
Lucky for me, I don't have to set foot in there to stop you. That Armageddon of yours needs 10 minutes to focus, right? I wonder how he'll focus with an inferno coming down on the top of his head. Last chance, assholes! Come out peacefully or I'll roast every one of you! You've gotten to the count of three!
Oh man, I sure hope this works.
One!
Vince fired off a blast of flame, missing the orphanage, but making his presence felt.
Two!
From the windows, Vince could see twitching, hurried movements of Sims getting into position to stop him. He took a deep breath, let the fire recede, and pulled up every bit of light he could muster.
Three!
The criminal Sims sprang up out of hiding, almost all of them holding smaller, child-sized Sims up in front of them as cover.
Bastards!
Vince released all the light he'd gathered in a massive flare, one that lit up the entire block.
Yes!
He lined up a shot on the second floor Sim, one that had dropped its child shield in surprise. If he was quick and precise, Vince could cut their numbers in half before their sight recovered. Chad was out of sight, half a block away from Vince's position, waiting for an opportunity to sprint across the open area between himself and the orphanage. It wasn't long before Vince provided it.
Hey, you cowardly assholes! You think hiding in a building with a bunch of children is going to keep you safe?
His legs were a blur as he bolted across the concrete, moving as fast as he could without causing unwanted noise. In seconds, he was across the gap. Chad dove through an open window, rolled expertly to his feet, and made eye contact with a surprised-looking Sim. He kept running. Peeking out into the hall, Chad saw the majority of Sims near the front of the building rubbing their eyes and stumbling about.
A light-based attack. Good choice, Vince.
As Chad crept quietly along, he could sense the majority of bodies clustered together near the front of the orphanage, split fairly evenly between the top and bottom floors. Two rooms farther away were filled with Sims. The room on the ground floor seemed to contain most of the orphans, corralled to keep them out of the way until they were useful. The room on the second floor housed four bodies, with one standing and three pacing. A Sim, still rubbing its eyes but slowly recovering, turned around to look at the stairs. A moment earlier, and it would have seen a flash of white as Chad vanished from view. Instead, it found only an empty staircase. With no concerns from the rear to defend against, the Sim followed the lead of the other units and turned its attention to the silver-haired super who was holding fire in his hands again. Camille pressed two fingers to the neck of a Sim and watched as it powered down before it could get off another blast on Thomas's dome. Some ways off, on another rooftop, she saw Alex make a brief gesture with his hand a second before the nearest sniper Sim slumped over in a heap. It was going slower than she might have liked, but they were definitely making progress. One by one, they were taking out the ranged threats. Between Shane and Roy, the Sims were taking a beating. Roy was bounding and leaping across the battlefield too erratically for the Sims to take any sort of formation. His bat swept through the air freely, tearing through any Sim who dared get within reach. What was worse, at least for the Sims, was that Roy kept driving and leading bits of the mob toward the alley, where Shane's shadows made quick work of him.
I wonder if those two could win this fight on their own.
Camille's question became irrelevant when more white uniforms appeared at the edge of the group of Sims. Brittany, Selena, Adam, and Rich had finally made their way across the battlefield to help. And with four more supers, the fight was about to take a decidedly sharp turn against the Sims. Camille made her way down the fire escape, choosing speed over silence this time, and headed for the nearest sniper's building. Chad was nearing the door, hand outstretched, when Will's voice caused him to stop in his tracks.
Chad, where are you?
Second floor, approaching the back room with several Sims lying in wait.
Shit, I was afraid of that. I think it's a trap. They're trying to bait you in. I just had a drone catch sight of two Sims sneaking out a back door of the building. One was carrying the other in her arms, and the man being carried out was throwing off some high-level energy. They're trying to trick us again.
How far and how fast are they moving?
Quick, but not impossibly so. From where you are, I'm not sure you'll be able to catch them.
Then that only leaves Vince.
You want him to try and chase those two with most of the Sims from the orphanage attacking him?
If you have any other ideas for how to potentially save the world, I would love to hear them.
Chad waited, shifting his position back toward the stairs.
Give him all the help you can. Something tells me this one is going to get messy.
Vince's sense of victory after the bluff and light bomb was short-lived.
Vince, abort your attack!
What?
The Armageddon Sim is escaping out of the rear of the building!
But Chad...
Chad is all right. A female Sim is carrying the target out of the back of the orphanage. You'll have to run down to the next cross street, turn left, and look for an alley that will give you access to them. Break off and pursue!
The Sims on the first floor had recovered their sight and came pouring out of the front of the orphanage.
Vince, go!
Crap!
Summoning as much fire as he dared next to an orphanage, Vince released a blast of flame that went out in all directions from his body. Several Sims got scorched. Others darted back in time. Vince took off at a dead sprint. As he ran, ranged shots began to rain down from the windows above. He zigzagged to avoid getting hit, but it slowed him down considerably. Behind him, he could hear the Sims on the ground getting closer as he reached the corner and turned left. He could see the alley ahead on the left that would lead him to the rear of the building, but a glance over his shoulder revealed that his pursuers were almost on him.
Well, at least I tried.
Suddenly, Vince was smiling as he dove around the corner and into the alley.
You couldn't have told me Violet was coming?
She must have been flying over my drones. If I'd have known she was so close, I'd have sent her after the targets instead of you.
A headless Sim sailed past Vince and rolled to a stop against a fence.
Vince, keep going! The targets have left the alley and are moving fast down 10th Street, one block down to your right. You can't see them from your location.
Vince spotted the street sign and knew immediately that even running as fast as he could, he wouldn't get to the fleeing Sims quickly enough. He needed to take a page from Roy's playbook. Vince squatted and began to draw on his store of kinetic energy, focusing it on the bottoms of his feet. Leaving his destroyed boots behind, he rocketed into the air, across the street, and over the four-story building on the corner of 10th. From above, he could see the Sims in the distance, already three blocks away. Vince's momentum began to slow, and as he came hurtling down to the ground, he angled his bare feet forward and concentrated for all he was worth. He absorbed the kinetic energy of the landing and sent it right back out again. Vince was in uncharted territory. The momentum of the second jump would take him close to the targets, but would it be close enough? Now he was only half a block behind the Sims. The third jump took him over the targets by several yards. He landed, rolled, and came up facing them. A blast of fire forced the female Sim to turn away, set down her alley, and face Vince as a threat. She closed the distance between them, but Vince had plenty of kinetic energy left. The guard disappeared through the hole she made in the side of a nearby building, and Vince faced off with the Armageddon Sim. The Sim stood in place, hands still clasped together, the energy between them glowing brighter and brighter.
Shit, this is it. He's trying to complete the chain reaction.
Vince closed the gap between them. The Sim's mechanical skull burst into pieces from the blow, flying all over the road. To Vince's horror, the pulsating glow continued to grow.
Shit, what happened? Did we miss the deadline? Is this going to happen no matter what? Wait, can I stop it?
Vince put his hand forward, trying to feel this new energy, to find a way to steal it. But before he had a chance...
With 10 seconds to spare, you have all successfully stopped the threat of Armageddon. Congratulations to everyone. When you're finished changing and showering, there are a lot of impressed heroes out here anxious to congratulate each one of you.